Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vasudevaya Chaitanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gauravani Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you very much for coming. Everyone understands English okay? Or should I speak in Mauritian Creole? That was a joke, by the way. Moka Pav calls a long crayon. And okay, devotees. We are going to discuss the subject. Well, we actually call this seminar The Heart of Vaishnava Relationships. That's what we call it. The Heart of Vaishnava Relationships. And we're going to discuss in two contexts, really. One is just our, you know, you could say traditional Vaishnava philosophy with some examples from scripture about relationships of different types. We'll do that a bit. And just some common sense ideas about relationships. Just, you know, some things which are not exactly Shastric, I mean, directly as such, but they, you know, they're like clear or fairly obvious matters to do with relationships between devotees. So, first of all, let me tell you, I have a sort of a fear. The fear is this. You know what the fear is? The fear is that we will discuss all these things in different interesting ways. I think some ways you may be a little shocked. Whew, wait and see. We will wake you up, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Okay, tell you, Casey. Hey. I'm very happy to see you. So yeah, I'm afraid that we're going to discuss it and go through different points, etc. And then we're going to go home and go to our different places and forget it all. And, you know, we may cover some things which make some impact on your brains about, oh, we should do better in our devotee relationships. But then we'll go back to how we were doing. Because, and what is the essence of the problem? The essence of the problem is false ego. False ego basically means, in a very literal sense, that I think I am someone I am not. You know, typically, I would think I am a white man. sort of middle age, or old actually. And that's what I am. And you're a young Mauritian Indian young man, and you are ladies and you are men. But this is false. This is false. False ego. Ego literally is a Latin word. I studied Latin at school. What a waste of time. But anyway, I studied Latin at school, and ego translates as I am. I am. But false ego means I think I am something I am not. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. And the particular body we have now is just irrelevant to the person we are eternally. For example, if you don't mind me picking on you a bit, our young Mauritian gentleman, you're in the front row, so you may get picked on a bit. What's your name? Abai. Wow. His name is Abai. We'll see if we can frighten you. So, yes, here's Abai. Your age? 15. Canton. Okay. Who knows? In Goloka Vrindavan, you might be, seriously, a gopi. Cowherd girl. You might be, sure. You might even be a cow or a bull. We don't know. There was one great former predecessor of Lord Chaitanya called Madhavendra Puri. Great devotee who did so much to lay the foundation for Lord Chaitanya's movement. In Goloka Vrindavan, he is a tree. He is a tree. But we shouldn't think, he's just a tree. What's a tree? A tree in Goloka Vrindavan is way higher than anyone on this planet. Way, there's just no, we cannot even comprehend. Anyway, but this is false ego that I think out of this body. So our fear is that, you know, we may deflate our false egos here a bit by pointing out different important things about how we may be associating with other devotees improperly and how we should rather associate with them in other ways. And it might be like, wow, really? Sure, I've been making mistakes. And in this way, the false ego gets a little deflated. But you know what the problem with false ego is? It is self-inflating. Yes. You don't need to try to inflate it again. It inflates itself. I have an exercise mattress that I use. All you do, you open the valve. It inflates itself. Oh, Krishna. Anyway, that's what I'm concerned about. And therefore, devotees of the Lord, I ask you to please bring paper and pens, which you've done. Thank you so much for that. Because in this way, we can go more deeply into things. So here we go then. Let us begin by quoting a verse or two, a couple of verses from Shastra. You can note down the numbers of these verses so that later you can, you know, write them down or just know what they are. First of all, we're going to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Verse 34. 4, 8, 34. It is Narada Muni speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. And Narada Muni says, Gunadikan mudam lipsed, anukrocham gunadamat, maitrim samanad anvichchen, natapayar abhibhuyate. Translation. Every person should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. So these are three levels of person in relation to oneself. It is subjective. The person who is junior to you may be senior to someone else. It just depends, you know. So it's all relative to our position and our situation in relation to whoever the other person is. So someone more qualified means basically someone senior, then you should be very pleased. Someone less qualified, someone junior, in other words, we should be compassionate. And someone equal to ourselves, we should make friendship. We are going tomorrow, I think, actually, to discuss these specific three categories in more detail. Dealing with seniors, dealing with equals, dealing with juniors. But this is just a little introduction. But then he goes on, then he says a little bit more, and listen to this. And devotees, perhaps you should fasten your seat belts. Because believe me, this is just like, it's a wow statement. If you think about it, it's really something quite extraordinary. So if one does like this, relates with seniors equals juniors in the recommended ways, Narada Muni says, in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. What do you think about that? Maybe you'd have to think about it a bit, actually. You know what the threefold miseries are? Miseries of our own body and mind. Miseries inflicted upon ourselves by other living beings. You know, mosquitoes bite you, or people say bad things about you. You know, just all these types of things. And the first type, misery, is coming from the body and mind. It's just like the tendency to get into anxiety, sickness. These are miseries arising from the body and the mind. Okay, and then misery is coming from other living entities. And then the third type, misery is coming from the material nature. Means like, it's too hot sometimes. It's too cold. There's a cyclone. You know, this type of thing. Yeah. So these are the basic miseries of life in this world. Pretty much whatever else may put you into anxiety or cause you difficulty is just a subset of these three. But Narada is saying, that if we learn how to deal with these different levels of people in relation to ourselves, then we will become free from these three types of miseries. Isn't that amazing? And that's a big thing to say. That is just really a big thing to say. And, you know, without going into the reasoning behind it in detail, the basic idea is that if you become Krishna conscious enough, to deal with these three levels of people appropriately, then just naturally along with that Krishna consciousness will become the capacity to tolerate, you know, the cyclone, if people insult you and tell you you are a, you know, dot, 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 fill in the blank with whatever sort of, you know, tasty or exciting sort of statement people make about you. If you become Krishna conscious enough, and you have to become Krishna conscious enough in order to deal with these people properly, otherwise you won't be able to. Look at Mr. Trump. Don't tell him I said it. But he doesn't know how to deal with people. Gosh. And he insults people. He's meant to be a big leader. Yes, like a child. Sometimes. It's really bad. You've got to be Krishna conscious enough. Otherwise you'll tend to lose it sometimes and not deal properly with these different people. So in order to be able to deal with them consistently in these very nice ways, you have to be sufficiently Krishna conscious. And when you're sufficiently Krishna conscious, then you can deal with like your own tendency to become anxious about things. If you get sick, you'll be able to deal with it. If people harass you, you'll be able to deal with it without getting, you know, excited and disturbed. How to get back at the people. And when there are just natural problems of coming from material nature, you'll be able to tolerate those. And in this way, as Narada says, you'll never be affected by these miseries. Let's just touch on another couple of verses here, let's see. Here's another one. It's Bhagavatam 3:29-17. 3:29-17. Twa Vaknav Deset. It is Lord Kapila speaking to Devahuti. Mahatam Bahumanena Dinanam Anukampaya Maitriya Chayvatna Tulyeshu Yamena Niyamena Cha. The pure devotee, that's you, anyway, let's pray to Krishna. The pure devotee should execute devotional service. In other words, we should try to execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with people who are his equals. But all his activity should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. It's a kind of quite similar sort of statement. Let's see now, where are we here? What has happened? Okay. This is the last one. I'll read. This is now Srimad Bhagavatam 4:38. 4:38. Sri Bhagavan Vivaja. Varam Vrindivam Bhadram Vau. Yuyame Nirvanandana. Soharde Nakhtai Dharnas. Tushboham Solidena Va. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking to the Prachetas. Interesting part of the Bhagavatam. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. So they're brothers, and the relationship in terms of senior, equal, junior, is more or less friend, they're more or less equals. So he's addressing this point of friendly relationships with equals rather than the different levels like the other verses. But what do we see here? We see that the Lord is pleased when these, their devotees, when these devotees who are on roughly the same levels, when they're able to deal very nicely with each other in Krishna consciousness. And he's so pleased, he's saying, you can ask a benediction. In other words, he will give his mercy when we deal with our equals nicely. In this regard, I want to give you a little exercise. Not for now, but for when? For the next time you take prasadam with like a group. I don't know if this evening like a dinner is going to be served, but tomorrow at least. Is a meal going to be served tonight? Snack. Okay. But tomorrow, yeah. Lunch. So tomorrow lunch, alright. Write this down. Because you know what Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, good memory means write it down. So write this down. What I want you to do, and this is part of this seminar, when you get your plate of prasada, and now you sit down, and you'll sit down with some other devotees, a friend or some devotee. Then, normally, or at least in many cases, when you sit down to take prasadam with someone, it's like, oh, ki maniera, ki arrive, just small talk, how's the family, what's the latest. I want you, tomorrow at lunchtime, okay, to sit down with whoever and start a Krishna conscious discussion. I mean, for just as an example, I want you to tell the person you sat down with that you just read such and such verse from Bhagavad Gita. Or whatever. You know, you must have read a book of Prabhupada's in the last few days. Abai? Did you read one of Prabhupada's books? When? A couple of days ago. Today? Monday? Yesterday, maybe. Okay. So anyway, I want you to do like that. You understand? You sit down with the person and you tell them, you know, I was reading whatever it it is, when a prophet spoke, and I read something, 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 and say a little bit about it, and then ask the person, what do you think? You follow him. In other words, I want you to start a Krishna-conscious discussion. Is that okay? Can you manage that? Of course you can. You please do that, and well, you won't be able to report back to us how it goes, but I'd just like you to note how it goes. I mean, if you sit down and have breakfast with other devotees, then you do the same thing. Is that clear? Was that clear? Are you all ready and willing to give it a shot? Okay. So one more verse. Actually, it's two verses. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 7:4, 31, and 32. Set, cut. Trongdhan, eh? Trongdhan. Brahmanya Shila Sampana Satya Sando Chitendriya Atmavat Sarvabhutanam Ekapriya Surittama Dasavat Sanatari Yangri Pitrivat Dinavat Sala Parakshivat Savishe Snigdho Gurush Vishvara Bhavana Vidyata Rupa Janmadyo Mamastampa Vivarjata. So this is actually Ichimide Goswami describing Prahlad, Prahlad Maharaj. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, were described here with. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmin, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older god-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. So anyway, hopefully you noted down the verse numbers, so, you know, in your own time you can take out those verses and study them, because they're good verses. Okay, so now let's get into the details of the subject. I want to make a couple of just very simple points of logic. They're not exactly verses from the Bhagavatam like what we were reading, but it's more like common sense. But you know what this is an interesting one. You know what the problem with common sense is? The problem with common sense is it is not so common. That's the problem with common sense. That's a good one. I like that one. That is true. So these are I'm going to say a couple of things which are just straightforward, but you might not have really thought about or really got these points yet. And that is, relationships are something like bank accounts. By you don't have a bank account, I suppose. Okay, no problem. But I think you all know how bank accounts work. You put your money in, and then you take it out when you want to purchase something. So you're depositing, and then you are withdrawing. And when you deposit, the balance, the amount in your bank account goes up. And when you withdraw, the balance, the amount in your account goes down. This is not financial rocket science. It's just very simple stuff indeed. So our relationships are like that in many ways. If you treat someone nicely, it's like, you know, they feel better about you. What could be more obvious than that? It is like making a deposit in the emotional bank account. We use that term sometimes. The emotional bank account that you have with that person. But then if you do something else, you know, if you criticize them, if you lie to them, if you talk about them behind their back, you know, all these types of things. If you are unsupportive when they're in difficulty, if you just sort of brush them off and tell them, oh, you know, it's your problem, I'm busy, see you later. This sort of thing, or, you know, something more radical, you actually cheat them. Then their feelings towards you will go down, obviously. You have just made a withdrawal from your emotional bank account with that person. This is not high-level logic, is it? This is just very straightforward. But we should be aware of this. We need to be aware of this. And to be very careful how we deal with everyone, particularly devotees. We're talking about relationships with devotees, but actually with everyone. Yeah, there are different ways of saying the same thing. Just because you think someone did something stupid doesn't mean you have to tell them, you know, you are stupid. There are other ways of putting it. Here, this is a classic example which is given in the sort of the literature on these subjects. We are now talking about, anyway, just listen to this. I am strong-willed. He is stubborn. And he is pig-headed. Do you understand? I have actually said the same thing, but with three different degrees of intensity. Are you with me? I am strong-willed. You know, it's a good quality. Strong-willed. Determined. But him, he's stubborn. It's actually someone else talking about you. You could say. But he is stubborn. And him, he's pig-headed, meaning he's just dull and just, you know, he can't look forward. So like this, we've got to think. We've got to use our brains when we're dealing with the other devotees. And not just let our emotions take over. Because Prabhupada, you know one thing Prabhupada said? Is that people are like china vases. If you break a china vase, you know, it's quite possible you can glue it back together again, but it will never be the same. Yeah. So if we really, you know, just smash our relationship with someone. Maybe you can recover it, but it'll never be the same. Yeah. So therefore we have to be very sensitive. And of course, you know, in our relationships, you can't really expect people to reciprocate the way you would like them to reciprocate. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You can't. So don't have too high expectations or hopes, because you can get easily let down. And in a relationship, you cannot control the other person, but at least you've got a chance of controlling yourself. So in our relationships, don't worry too much about the other person, but be concerned about yourself. At least you can try to control yourself and do things properly. So how are you doing? Are you with me so far? And this is all very simple stuff, but it's very important stuff. Sometimes it's so simple that we don't even notice it. In fact, Prabhupada said that once, that Krishna consciousness is so simple you may not notice it. You may just miss it. So simple. I'm going to tell you a story. Let me just say that it is a fictitious story. It is not true. Alright, in case you get worried. So, there was a temple, an ISKCON temple, in Mauritius. We will not tell you the name. And in that temple, they had a problem. They never had enough money. If you're a president of a temple in ISKCON, you'll know this is the universal problem. No temple ever has enough money. So this temple didn't have enough money. But they really needed a new Vyasasam for Srila Prabhupada. They really needed one. But how to get the money? You know, they just didn't know what to do. So, one devotee, member of the congregation, came one day and spoke to the temple president or manager, temple leader. And he said, "Wow, you wouldn't believe it. Oh my Lord. Oh Krishna. Oh, it's too much. My wife is driving me crazy. She is driving me crazy." This is fictitious, okay? Don't worry. "My wife, she's too much. I bring home all my money and I just give it to her at the end of the month. And then she complains there's not enough money. Whenever she wants a new sari, I try to buy her, but we haven't got enough money, so I can't buy her. Sorry." She complains. She complains. "I've been wearing this sari for 1 month. And it's just, I can't take it. I can't take it any longer. She must die. You gotta help me. She must die." And the leader was shocked. "I must help him to kill his wife." And the leader said, "Well, listen, just hang on a moment. You know what? Let me think about it. It's always a good idea to, before you open your mouth, think about it. Yeah, first." So that's what the leader said to do. He said, I want to think about it. I don't know what to say right now. So he sent, sort of like a spy, 007 to check things out. And so the spy was listening through the windows to the wife and trying to understand, you know, what is going on here. And so he heard, the spy heard the wife complaining about the husband. He doesn't get me enough money. He always keeps some back, you know, to buy himself sweets. He doesn't buy me proper clothes. He doesn't give me enough money to buy veggies. And then he complains that we're getting shushu every day. He's always criticizing how I look. Yeah, it's terrible, I can't take it. Therefore, whenever he comes home, I give him a hard time. I give him a really hard time, because he gives me a hard time. So, yeah, I get back at him. Aha. So the spy returned and reported back, and the leader understood that the wife was treating the husband in nasty ways because the husband was doing that, basically. Yeah. So then the leader thought of a plan. And the next day he met with the husband. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about what you were saying. And you know, there's a very interesting statement in the 19th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There it says, you read the 19th chapter? if not, you haven't come across this yet. There it says, if we make a promise to Krishna, but we don't keep it, our wife dies. So you must make a promise to Krishna, but don't keep it. And your wife will die. There you go. And the man said, oh, great, okay. What shall I promise to Krishna? And the leader said, well, listen, I've got an idea. Why don't you promise, come in front of the deities, and promise to Krishna, you will provide a new Vyasa-san for Srila Prabhupada, but then don't do it. And your wife will do it. There you go. So the man came in front of the altar and said, I promise, my Lord, I will get a new Vyasa-san for Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so now he's waiting for his wife to die. A couple of weeks went on. The wife still seemed as strong as usual. He came back to the temple leader and said, how long does it take for this to work? And the leader said, well, normally it's about 3 months. And the devotee, the congregation man, said, you know, I can't take it for 3 months. She has to die sooner. And the president said, the leader said, okay, there's a shortcut. I know it's a little complicated, but listen to this. There's a shortcut. Go in front of the altar again and tell Krishna again that, you know, I'm going to build a Vyasa-san for Prabhupada, and then just immediately after say, I'm not going to build it. Then she'll die in 2 weeks. Okay. So he did that. He took a vow. I will build the Vyasa-san for Prabhupada. But then he said, but I will not build it. So now, 2 weeks. 2 weeks to go. And the leader said, you know, the leader was very astute. He said, look, Elon, your wife's going to die in 2 weeks. Why don't you try being nice to her for a while? It's only 2 weeks. Just be nice to her. Give her enough money. Compliment her on how she looks. Compliment her cooking. Help her around the house. Don't do things like this. It's only for 2 weeks. So the man said, oh, okay then. So he was now doing this. He came back after 1 week and said, you know, I've got a serious problem. Very serious. My wife is being really nice to me. And I don't want her to die. But what can I do? Because she's only going to live another week. And you know what the leader said? Just build a Vyasa for Srila Prabhupada within the week and she won't die. So he did. And Prabhupada got a nice new Vyasa and the wife didn't die. You know, you've got to watch out for the 19th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's very tricky. It's almost as bad as the 13th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, very difficult. So anyway, there's a moral to the story, isn't there? It's basically the same point. It's such a simple point. If we treat people nicely, generally, they will reciprocate in the same way. So before we get into anything a little more complex, intricacies of devotee relationships, try to get this. Try to get this. Always to deal nicely with everyone, actually. Why not with everyone? But particularly with the devotees. Yeah. This is lesson number one. Really try to do that. Because as they say, I don't know if you've heard this one before, every time you have had a bad relationship, has anyone here ever had a bad relationship with anyone? Even briefly? Anyone? We have one back there. Or we have two. The rest of three, four, five, six. The rest of you never had a bad relationship. Felicitations. But you must tell the truth too. But every time you've had a bad relationship, you were there. Every time you've had a bad relationship, you were there. In other words, don't just blame the other person. You were there. And you, surely you contributed to it. Okay, right, let's see here. Right. Now we are going to do a practical exercise. What we are going to do is, and this is tough. I mean, we're going to do a bit of searching of our hearts. We want you to think and write down what some quality or bad quality in yourself, which, if someone was having a relationship with, or if you were having a relationship with someone who had that bad quality, it would really, really put you off that person. Did you get that? Think of some bad quality you have, which, if another person had that bad quality, it would put you off having a relationship with them. Do you follow the idea? Or should I traduise? on crayon and devoured in the parchment. Do you get the idea? But hang on, before you do it, don't make it too bad, because the person who's sitting right next to you, you're going to have to tell them what it is. And they're going to give you advice how to deal with it. Are you with me? Yeah. So anyway, think of a really bad quality you have, but which you wouldn't mind one of the other devotees knowing that you have. But still it's a bad quality. Write it down. Okay? Do you understand? Anyone not understand? All right. I'll give you a minute to write it down. Think about it. Maybe when you're hungry you get angry. Maybe sometimes you get sarcastic. These are bad qualities. Maybe sometimes you just criticize. These are bad qualities. But you have to be able to admit to the person sitting next to you that you have that bad quality. Yeah. Alright, so another 30 seconds. Okay, you've all done it. You're sarcastic. Sometimes you're not clean. Sometimes, I don't know, but sometimes you steal someone's samosa. Samosa up around. Extremely serious. Okay, you ready? Now, turn to the person sitting next to you. You're generally in fours or sixes, as I say. So you two are together, and you, Abai, are with... What's your name?
Nihal.
So you're together, right? So one of you tell your partner what your problem is, and your partner, Mataji, you must make some suggestions how she can deal with her problem. And after you've done that, whatever, a minute or two or whatever it takes, then you tell her your problem and she'll give you advice. Are you with me? Anyone not understand the process? Okay. Let's go. We want to hear talk. What's your problem, Baba? Do you have any? Tell me, Mom. Just chant on your beads while the others are finishing. church. Humility. If you have humility, that will help in having good relationships. If you're just proud, you know, it's going to be very difficult. If you are able to sort of be empathetic, do you understand empathetic? Understanding. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. That's empathy. You know this word? Empathy. Just put empathy. Yeah. Then you can have good relationships. If you don't, if it's always just about you, then how are you going to have good relationships? You can have a good relationship with yourself. How about tolerance? You know, any of you who have had or are in a long-term relationship, like husband and wife, as a very typical example, but can be other times, then you know, from time to time, you have to tolerate your partner, isn't it? And sometimes they have to tolerate you. Let me tell you a story in that regard. One time a devotee was complaining to Srila Prabhupada about working, serving with some other devotee. And, you know, he's like this, and he's like that, and, oh, I can't work with him. And Prabhupada said, well, he's a devotee. Try to tolerate him. But then the devotee said, oh, but Srila Prabhupada, he does this, and he doesn't do that, and it's just so terrible, and I just can't work with him. And Prabhupada said, please, he is a devotee. Try to tolerate him as I tolerate you. So just as a general point, don't worry. There is at least one person, maybe in this room, but there's at least one person existing who is tolerating you. Yeah. Who, when they see you, they think, oh my God. But they're tolerating. They're not, you know, having a go at you. So tolerance, honesty, patience is like a relative of tolerance. Well, it depends on how it's used, but confidence. If you've got like an inferiority complex, you know what they say about those? They say, what do they say? Around 20, or up to the age of 20, or maybe more, maybe up to the age of 40, people are really concerned about what other people think of them. When they get to 40, they tend not to care, because they're kind of established in life and just carry on. And when they get to 60, they realize that the people were not thinking about them anyway, but they were just, you know, in their heads about it. And so then they really don't worry. Anyway, okay. Then communication skills. Like we said, how to say the right thing in the right way. And not just blurt out whatever comes into your head. First thing. Then if you're in a relationship, to be responsive. That when your friend, partner, whoever the person is in a situation, you've got to respond. You don't just, you know, have a not care attitude. And also, you've got to be responsible. It's related. You've got to be responsible. You've got to be trustworthy. How are you doing? Okay. responsible, trustworthy, and it's kind of almost a paraphrasing of something. Well, actually, it's also a different quality too. You've got to be able to listen. Listening skills. Or at least just be able to listen. You know, there is one famous, what would you call him, like management guru, Stephen Covey. Have you heard of Stephen Covey? Very famous. I took his course twice. How do you know? Anyway, he says one of his main principles, seek to understand before trying to be understood. It's just common sense, but it's a really good one. Don't, you know, if your friend, husband, wife, whoever it is, has a problem, don't just let them half explain it and then you're already jumping in with a solution before you have really understood what you're meant to be helping with them with. So seek to understand before trying to be understood. Here's another, it's a sort of related idea, it's not Stephen Covey, but it's also common sense. That's a really, it's very deep actually. Listen to this. We judge, seek to understand before trying to be understood. We judge ourselves according to our intentions, but we judge others according to their actions. We judge ourselves according to our intentions. We judge others according to their actions. These are just like wisisms. You don't need to write that one, but I mean, the can. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple more, and then we're going to ask you for some suggestions of personal qualities which will help us in our relationships. So, okay, next one from me. Compassion. Compassion. Write it down. Compassion. If you're compassionate, at least that's in certain situations, it will very much help in your relationships. Respect. Perceptiveness. Okay, devotees. You know, they told me that the devotees here at Montaigne Blanche, in the back of the Atlanta College of Education and Culture, they told me that you are all very intelligent. Bien, bien, intelligent. Oui, vraiment. Therefore, now, we want you to suggest some personal qualities which you feel will help in having good Vaishnava relationships. Seminar forgiveness. It's a deep subject. Ladies, another one? Sorry? Okay, a service attitude. Yeah, that's good. That's very good. How about one of the young men? Under 20. How old are you? 20. Under 21. Young men, please think of a quality, personal quality, which will help you to have good relationships.
Kindness.
Yeah. It's not there yet, yeah? Okay, right up, kindness. Why not? Ladies, another one. I didn't hear that.
Helpful.
Helpful. Okay, helpfulness. Gentlemen. Yes. Okay, to be appreciative. A good one. Very good. Means not to flatter, but to actually appreciate. Because everyone has many good qualities. So yeah, to be appreciative. Very good. The ladies from the back. Forbearing?
Okay,
thank you. Yeah, that's good. Very good. The gentleman from the back row.
Service without expecting any reward.
Okay. We've got a serving attitude, right? Okay, but this is, it can be slightly different. Not having personal motivation, you know, like a personal agenda, right? It's that sort of idea. Yeah, more mercy. Ladies from the front rows.
Understanding.
We don't have that?
Yes.
Write it down. We want to get your brains working. Yes. Compassionate. I think we've got it.
Compassion.
We've got. Thank you. Good, but we got it already. Yes, yes.
Politeness,
yeah, okay. Anyone else? A suggestion?
Knowledgeable,
yeah. Anyone else? I've got a few more. If you don't have.
Talking in a sweet tone.
Okay. Talking in a sweet tone.
Truthfulness.
Humble. I think we already got it. But thank you. You're good. You're really coming up with a whole lot. Maybe you should be giving the seminar. Okay, I'm going to just mention some more, unless someone's got some, you know, point burning in their brains. Here's a few more. We've got to be attentive. Have you ever been with someone and they're working on their computer? You know, they're busy. Computer addiction. And you're trying to speak to them. And they're like, what are you? That sort of inattention
in relationships is really bad. Okay. Authenticity means being genuine, not just making a show of caring. Being flexible. You know, the solution that you may think of may not be the solution the other person needs or is able to utilize. So flexibility has to be there. How about sense of humor? Got to have a sense of humor. You can't just be too sort of serious and grave. Self-sacrifice. To really go the extra mile to make a special effort. Go outside your comfort zone with the person you're dealing with. And also, you know, in a relationship, it's so important to be able to be self-critical and accept criticism of yourself in a relationship. You know, if you're always right, quote-unquote right, it's very difficult to have a relationship with a person who's always right. I mean, sort of, so to speak, always right. Okay, now, devotees, we're going to do another exercise. Are you ready? We are going to do this exercise not just in groups of two. I think we will do, what will we do? Say, groups of four or five, or say 3 to 5. Don't want it to be too big, it'll take too long. But more input than just one other person. So first of all, we want you to choose all these that we've put up, all these qualities. Choose your 3 worst. Yeah. Choose your 3 worst, which you need help with, things you're just not good at. And then we'll divide into our groups, 3 to 5 devotees. And you'll just have to take it in turns to say, what are your 3 worst? And your team members will give you advice. You get the idea? You know, you may have to move if there's too many or too few in your group. Just be ready to do that. Okay, so divide into groups, 3 to 5. You know what you do when you get the advice? You write it down. Okay? You write down all the advice you get. Okay, go for it. Ale. So write down your three words and then start discussing. But you must write down your three words from the list.
Thank you. 30 seconds.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3 and a half, 3, 2.9, 2.8, 2.5. Anyone need more time? Anyway, I think we got to stop. Excusez-moi. Okay, Devon. Now, we're going to try. It may not be easy for different reasons in different ways, but we're going to try to do something extremely radical, and it may shock some of you. We are going to ask some of you groups to put together dramas on solving one or two of the problems that you were discussing. We haven't got time. Normally we would have everyone, and we would have like a whole drama thing for like 3 hours. But we don't have time tomorrow. So, would any of you groups like to volunteer to put on a drama? Means a skit, you know, like a minute or two or a couple of minutes or something. Just illustrating what's wrong with not having a certain quality or two qualities, and what is good about actually having the one or two qualities. Are you with me? Any volunteers? I tell you, if this was Russia, everyone would have volunteered by now. We'd have to fight them off. Really, the difference in nature is quite amazing. But no, I didn't expect. So, devotees, fasten your seatbelts. We are going to appoint some volunteers. And how are we going to do this? You know, I'm not exactly sure because we don't have a lot of time. But in any group, sort of half feel like volunteering. I didn't expect that either. But what I want, we're going to have, because there's more men than ladies. We're going to have two men's groups, and we're going to have one ladies' group. Okay? And, you know, as I told Abai earlier, sometimes it's a problem being in the front row, because you tend to get chosen for stuff. So do you mind putting on a drama for a couple of minutes? Not now. Tomorrow morning. Means, you know, I even don't exactly know how you're going to do it, but you know, I think what it means is either you come early, like half an hour early tomorrow morning if you can manage it, or tomorrow, you know, today we started, well anyway, whatever. Tomorrow we will start with kirtan, and we'll have kirtan for 15 or 20 minutes or something like that. And during the kirtan, the groups will be able to put together their dramas. We're not expecting Academy Award level. And usually they're pretty amusing. But we want to see what's wrong with not having one or two of these qualities, and then how having these qualities is helpful in our relationships in Krishna consciousness. So thank you, Abhay Prabhu, for volunteering. You okay? Sure. Okay, thank you. Let's have a ladies group. We need a volunteer. I won't ask the front row. I want volunteers from the middle somewhere. Are you ready to volunteer? Yeah? Sharanandi? Yeah? Where? Yeah, your group was four people, right? So, with the devotees just behind you, was it? Or on the side? Oh, there. Okay. So you're okay with that? Okay? Thank you. The ladies always do really well. And yeah, okay, we need another men's group. Thank you.
Maharaj, there's a suggestion.
Oh.
We can do the skit now.
Oh, you want to do a skit now? Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Is this what you prefer, Maharaj?
Okay, let's do a skit right now. Merci beaucoup. Arrivo! Come on, group. The Guru Prabhu has spoken. This is really good.
Somebody sit beside Maharaj and so I explain in English, please, because they are able to speak to you.
Well, I can understand. Don't worry about it. You could use this one, too. One is enough. Oh, you got another one. Okay. So you must tell us what are the qualities you're dealing with.
We're dealing with tolerance.
Tolerance. Okay, here we go.
Prabhu. Problem. Move it over to one.
Keep over.
And then you go, what's it going to Ati fasih ibu, kumpul bosan ini, nih problem. Mungkin ni kalau aku ni, kumpul bosan ini, ikut so problem, so nak kalau so fahmi so macam ayo problem problem. Tu ku kumpul bosan ini, nih problem. Mungkin ni kalau dia tu dia orang pun ibu, dia macam ibu bisa ni lah. Kau bali ibu sih dah orang so fahmi. Nampak,
ibu
sih nampak, dia fasih ibu sih Je les français c'est des dégrés pour vous, comment vous avez
mais comment on dit ça dégrés là
mais c'est vraiment les gens qui ont des erreurs là, on s'en va vous mais les fascinants, c'est terrible
mais
ça fait un petit peu conseil moi pour vous dire
mais il y a des routes d'ici, il peut s'aider d'ici, d'ici il y a un problème il peut s'entrer avec le chemin mais il voit là, il y a le centre avec le chemin
on va les arbres
on va les arbres Mais où c'est donné? Il supporte tout le monde. Il dit qu'il faut aller. Qui où il est? Il y a allé ou ça? Il est conscient.
Non, je ne sais pas. Mais c'est vraiment facile à faire pour
vous. Premier, c'est où il s'est capable de tout le monde. Bon, mais c'est super bien capable. Même si elle est là, ce qu'il nous a fait, c'est God minimum communication avec lui.
Non, ok. God minimum communication, on va parler.
si moi j'ai ouvert mon livre, par cause beaucoup parti beaucoup les temps avec lui, moi j'ai posé un dîner direct que je suis comme ça, mais moi j'ai redonné l'occasion à lui.
On the back of the horse, and they're crossing through the river,
And suddenly, bang! I don't know if he ever got stung by a scorpion. Oh, I didn't either, sure. But I heard it can be fatal. And he stung the horse, and the horse screamed. Why did you do that? I'm helping you, you promised not to do that. Why did you do that? And the scorpion said, I know, I'm really sorry, I'm so sorry. I just couldn't stop myself, because it's my nature. So our material natures and our habits and our ways of thinking, our attitudes, our ways of interacting, it's all deeply ingrained. Or they say, old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. Let me tell you a story. Prabhupada was traveling first class on an aeroplane internationally. And Prabhupada and his assistant, they were in the front row. And in those days, they didn't have, you know, built into the seats your own screen so you could watch things. There was just one big screen at the front. And they're showing a movie. And Prabhupada and his assistant, they're right there, you know, like 5 feet away from the screen. And it was a David Niven World War II movie. If you never heard of David Niven, don't worry, you didn't miss much. But, you know, he was in all the war movies, defeating the Germans. So there they are, and David Niven is going up the hill, and the bad guys are on top, and they're shooting, and he gets hit, oh, and he goes down. But then he gets up again, and again he's going up the hill with his gun, he's going up, and the bad guys are shooting, and then, oh, he gets shot again, but he gets up again. And again, he's going up the hill. And Prabhupada is sitting looking at this. And then Prabhupada dozed off for about 20 seconds. And then Prabhupada woke up again. And there was David Niven. He's still going up the hill. With his gun. And he's shot again. But then he gets up again. And Prabhupada looked at it, and in a very dry voice, Prabhupada said, oh, not dead yet. Because they also say, old soldiers die hard. Old soldiers die hard, and old habits die hard. So, you know, we went through the list of qualities, and we can all understand, I'm sure, that we should develop all of these qualities, and, you know, surely we have some problems with some of them sometimes, but we can understand we should work on them. Good. Very good. But, if there is not enough Krishna consciousness, then it becomes very difficult to change our old habits. In this case, of the ways we deal with people, how we speak to people, our attitudes and all that. So, there's a verse. Let me read this verse. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12. Sank the sweet dues. Yes, Yasti Bhaktira Bhagavati Kinchana, Sarvayagunai Satra Savasate Sura, Hirava Bhaktasik Toma Hadguna, Manorati Nasati Dada Tobahi, One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. It's a very famous and important verse and very relevant. The particular term, which is very interesting and important Sanskrit term, mano, mano rath. You all know about Rathiatra. Rathiatra next week. We all know about Rathiatra. Rath means chariot. But now this is a manarath, the chariot of the mind. So when people are just situated in their minds, which are composed of the modes of material nature, you know, and a particular configuration of the modes of material nature, which is based on your previous activities, it's your karma, you have that sort of mind. And someone else, you know, someone has a more emotional type of mind, someone else has a colder type of mind. We all have different types of mentalities, personalities, due to our conditioning from before. So to change all of that is not easy. It's not easy. Therefore, a very important, essential part of this whole process which we're putting to you, you know, in this way and that, step by step, such an essential part is we have to really cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Then we can change on the level of our heart, the type of person we are. Then we can change from, you know, say, a more selfish type of person who isn't just naturally inclined to care about others. We can change to a caring type of person. We can actually change through the potency of Krishna consciousness, which is cleansing our hearts, cleansing our minds, and lifting, elevating these parts of our being to higher levels. And, you know, just as an example to illustrate how it is possible, there's a very famous story I'm sure many of you are very familiar with. There's plenty of them actually. But how about Mrigari the Hunter? I'm sure many of you have heard of Mrigari the Hunter, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was hunting animals, and he used to enjoy half killing them, or just like mortally wounding them, but not just killing them outright. And so then, you know, they're on the ground, they're just in terrible pain, and it takes time, and then they die. So that was Mrigari. He enjoyed it. He liked watching as they were slowly dying in agony. That's amazing, actually. But anyway, then he met Narada Muni. Narada Muni preached to him, and it's a long story, but he convinced him to take up the practice of Krishna consciousness, basically. So he did. He actually gave him a vision of how the animals were going to come back and get him, and really get him. So Mrigari saw this by some sort of mystical revelation. And so he changed and he became a devotee. And if you know the story, you know that then later, Narada Muni returned to visit him with a friend, Parashara Muni, and they're now approaching the house of Mrigari, and Mrigari saw them coming from a little distance, and he came running out to greet Narada Muni. So he's running out, so enthusiastic. But then suddenly, they're still a little distance away, suddenly he stopped running and started sort of, in a very awkward, clumsy way, almost like dancing or somehow or other, stepping through something. And then he started running again. So when they actually met, Narada Muni asked him, what happened? You were running, then you stopped, and you were sort of hopping around in this way and that. What happened to you? And Mrigari said, well, I was running out, and then I saw there was a stream of ants across the path, and I didn't want to step on one. So I was being very careful somehow or other to get through without stepping on the ants. And Parashara Muni, who was with Narada, congratulated Narada, see what you've done. This man was so heartless. But now, he won't even hurt an ant. In other words, his heart had changed. He had actually become a better person. And, you know, there are many stories like Jagai and Madai. You're probably familiar with Jagai and Madai. They were terrible people. Really terrible. But they got the mercy of Lord Nityananda and then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and they became saintly. They just became like angelic, humble devotees. So this is one point we should note, and it's the final point I'm making today, is that it's not just a matter of sort of some mental adjustment. But real purification has to take place to actually remove the bad tendencies. Get rid of them. Remove them at the root. And this comes from our practice of Krishna consciousness. It comes from our chanting, japa, reading the books. It just comes from the whole program of Krishna consciousness, but based on chanting. So, you know, of course we must try to develop these qualities. Particularly, you know, if you have a tendency to not have one of these, or some of these, they're just not part of the way you're prone to think, then when you're in some suitable situation where such a quality would be appropriate, you should make the effort to be like that. Don't just wait till it comes of its own accord through your practice and purification, but you should try. Like if someone, for example, you've heard of Devasa Muni? He's a very famous Vedic sage, not exactly a devotee. And he, in the ninth canto, there's the description of how he visited Maharaj Ambarish and was invited to have a meal. But Maharaj Ambarish, again, it's another one of our long stories. He was fasting. He needed to break his fast before Devasa Muni. Devasa went to take a bath. Then he was going to come back and eat. Maharaj Ambarish needed to take something before, because the time for breaking the fast was coming. So he drank some water. And when Devasa Muni came back to have his meal, by his mystical power he understood that my host has taken something before me. Although it was only water, he didn't actually eat. So it wasn't an offense. But Devasa Muni, he's hypersensitive. He's hypersensitive. And if you do something, say something he doesn't like, he can react very heavily. So here he understood, Maharaj Ambarish ate some water before I ate. He drank some water, and Devasa Muni felt, this is such a big offense, he must die. Just imagine if Maharaj Ambarish had stolen his samosa. Wow. He would have double died. So if someone steals your samosa, seriously, have you ever had it happen? Sooner or later it will happen. Someone will steal your samosa. And if you have a certain type of nature, then you'll react in a certain type of way. And sometimes we see it happen. But if you have that type of problem, you know, you tend to be resentful, or you know, just take offense too very quickly. Then when you see you're in such a situation where it may happen, then you have to think, okay, wait a minute, just hold on. Yeah, this is sort of like my Achilles heel, if you know what that means. It's my weak point. So then we have to control ourselves and keep ourselves together. So that we have to do. Different situations will occur which will stimulate negativity within us. And we have to resist it and remain humble, and we have to work on ourselves. But the foundation of that is our chanting and our practice in general. But first of all, our chanting. And without that, we'll never do it. You won't be able to change at all. Or if you change a bit, you won't be able to change much. Because these, you know, these states of mind, they are different configurations of the modes of material nature. That's what they are. Passion, ignorance, these things are moving around in our heads, and therefore we're acting in this way, reacting in another way. So, you know, we're sort of tuned like that already. And to break that tuning, we have to really cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
God bless you. Anyway, tomorrow morning I'll try to be on time. You also, please. 9 o'clock. Yeah? Try to be on time. So we can see our dramas and then get into our material. Hare Krishna. I close up key.